Good morning, good afternoon, welcome again. This is day four of our convocation week. And today we're going to be talking about contending for God's promises. Now, over the next few minutes or so, half an hour to an hour, we'll talk about that, we'll pray about some things, but this is something that we need to hold on to for the rest of the convocation week, because there are many promises that God has given us, and we got to contend for them. So I welcome you. Come on in, and let's fellowship together around this word today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And as we stand in the message of the Lord today, cause that thy word will go forth as intended, to bring the intended impact in our lives. And let the glory be unto you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me start off by saying that God has given us many exceeding great and precious promises. Well, we read that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. You know, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, we see that God has indeed given us many great and precious, in fact, they're called exceeding great and precious promises. But as I've said before, let me say it also again as we go into this. Anything that was promised is not a promise to you if you don't know that it was promised. So let me say that again. A promise is not a promise to you unless you know that it was promised. Now that means we, number one, must know what God has said or what God has promised. That is so important. Once the Lord promises it, we need to know what it is he has promised. That's the first thing. What else does it say about his promises? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. The promises of God are not, you know, yea and nay. But in Christ Jesus, we are told that these promises yea and amen. In other words, God is not a yo-yo kind of God. Sometimes yea, sometimes no, sometimes perhaps, sometimes maybe, sometimes maybe not. No. On the other hand, he says that the promises of God, the Son of God, and things about Christ that were preached among us, he said, not yea and nay, but in him was yea, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20. But let me go on to say also that just because, you know, God promised something or gave the promise, And even if you know it, number one, if you don't know it, then it's really a moot point. But even if you knew it, that God promised it, that doesn't mean you are going to automatically obtain it. That's the part we want to deal with today. First, you got to know that God promised it. If you don't know that, it's no good to you. But if you do know it, and just because you do know that God promised it, doesn't mean you're going to automatically get it. Now, what must we then do? Well, that's what this lesson is about. You have to contend for those promises. There might be one promise in particular that I want to focus on today. Well, there are many promises in this Bible. You know, we've done lessons about faith specs, how we must search out the promises of God, how we must be persuaded about that promise that we're believing for and embrace it for the situation at hand, and then begin to confess it. That's our faith specs, SPEC. You know, but there's one particular promise I want to zero in on today. The promise that God gave us starting last year that we will emerge. I want to focus on that promise. So I'm going to call it the promise. Now, there are many things that we can focus on as the promise. Well, one time Jesus said to his disciples before he left, just before he left, he said, look, you know, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive the promise from the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. So at that time, the focus was the promise which you have heard of me that the Father will send to you. So that was the promise. At other times, many promises that God will give concerning particular situations that either the people of God as a whole were in, or for an individual, that may be a promise for a particular situation. And then we want to talk about the collective promise that God gave us of emerging. It started last year. And I've been looking, and I said, Lord, I see that indeed some are emerging, but it looks like it's kind of a yo-yo thing. You know, people go forward a little bit, and the next thing is, you know, there's just this spirit of heaviness and all of these things that come in and different things. So during this time of convocation and seeking the Lord and consecrating a fast and praying, you know, we want to take hold of certain things. Praise the Lord. All right. So we must contend for the promise. There are many reasons why people may not obtain a particular promise. Let's take a look at some circumstances in the Bible where God promised something significant, I might say, but, you know, maybe for one reason or the other, they did not encounter or obtain that promise. The promise of the promised land, for instance, it was at that time the promise. There was nothing more significant than that because of the situation that they had been in for over 400 years. And now it was time, and the promise was given. Well, unfortunately, as we read the story in Numbers 13 and 14, many, 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 in fact, hundreds, probably thousands, maybe, I don't know, maybe even millions of the people that promise was given to did not sanctify that promise in their hearts. And of course, they did not obtain. There was unbelief. In fact, If you read Numbers 13, we've read these stories multiple times. Let me just read a couple of verses here for reference. If you read Numbers 13, we just read a few verses, like verses 27 through 29. You see some of the things, the negative things that caused the people to not, cause them to not believe. And not, of course, ultimately, they could not enter in because they did not believe. You know, they would say things like, we've searched the land. We found that it was flowing with milk and honey, and we brought some fruit from there. Nevertheless, see, even though they were able to see some good fruit, they were able to get in there and get the fruit. I mean, how in the world were you able to get the fruit if you thought you couldn't get it? But nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, but you got in there, and they are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, as if God didn't know all that, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea in the coast of Jordan. They just say, we're not able. The man that went up said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it, a man of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, and so on and so forth. And we, in our own eyes, are like grasshoppers. Well, their unbelief got them all twisted up. First, they said the land eats up the inhabitants of the land. Now, if the land swallows up the people that are there, they will be diminished or be diminished stature. But yet, they said, well, they are of great stature. They are giants. Well, if they are giants and the land is swallowing them up, that's a contradiction. Anyway, they contradicted themselves. It was contradictions against the word of promise. They said all kinds of things. We're not able to do it. These people are there. They are strong. We ourselves look like grasshoppers, and so on and so forth. And that led to the Lord telling them that they will not go in. So the promise of going in, entering in, and possessing the promised land, they missed out on it because of the unbelief. The ones that gave the report, they weakened the hearts of the rest of the congregation. And everybody began to say, we can't do it, except for two, Caleb and Joshua. And you know the rest of the story. And the Lord was angry against them at that time. And the Lord said, because you have said these things, in fact, you will indeed not enter in. He said, as you have spoken in my ears, even so will I do unto you, in Numbers 14 and 28. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which you have said should be a prey, even them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, you older ones that have complained against me, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days that ye searched out the land, even 40 days, Your iniquity shall bring upon you each day for a year, and even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Wow. You ever thought that God promised something and it can be breached? Well, it was because of their unbelief. Now, that's one reason why people may not attain or obtain to the promise of God. You know, there are other reasons as well. Disobedience and not fulfilling the conditions for the promise. There are some promises that God put conditions around. In fact, many promises in the Bible, there are conditions around those promises. For example, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, the promise of healing and deliverance from diseases and so forth. Well, that promise was surrounded by conditions. That's the way the Lord put it out. And he said, if thou wilt diligently, so there is a big if there. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one, and do that which is right in his sight, that's number two. And he said, also give ear to his commandments, that's number three, and keep all his statutes, that's number four. So all of these you must do, then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So this powerful verse, which we all quote, actually has some preconditions, you know, that must be fulfilled in order for us to obtain the promise. So not fulfilling those conditions when the Lord say, if you will do this, then I will do that. If we don't do the one that the Lord put out that we should do, then we may not obtain the promise. That's another reason, you know, why people don't obtain the promise. It also goes along with disobedience. You know, when our obedience is fulfilled, and many scriptures around that, that's how we get things from the Lord. But if we don't keep his commandments, we don't do his word, we may not get the blessings. You know, let's read 1 John chapter 3 and 22. He says, look, whatever we ask of him, you know, so when you are trying to claim some promise, well, what does he say? Read it for yourself. 1 John 3 and 22. Whatever we ask of him, we receive because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, that means if we don't keep his commandments, which would be disobedience, then we will not receive those things. So disobedience is another reason why we may not receive the things, even though he promised them. And in this particular verse, I've spoken around this verse about actively obeying God's commandments, which I call active obedience, and also passive obedience, which is doing what is pleasing in his sight, even if he doesn't point blank command it, but you know that that's what's pleasing to him, and you submit to his will. So that's submission. Passive obedience is like submission. We know that this thing will be pleasing to the Father, we do it. And we know that this thing will not be pleasing to the Father, then we don't do it, even if we don't see the commandment in black and white. But the ones that are point blank commanded, we do them. And if we don't do them, then we may not receive the things we ask of him. But that's what this verse is saying. So disobedience is another reason why we may not receive anything. Now, the devil also has a part to play in all of this sometimes. I mean, opposition from the devil, he will bring discouragement. He will bring doubt. He will bring voices of reason, etc. We just try to confuse our minds. That's his role, and he does it well. And, you know, he also can bring us to situations where we actually disobey the word of God. We see that in the Garden of Eden. And he plays a role in making, trying to make sure that people do not get the promise of God. And then, of course, number five, we have lack of patience. So I've talked about four different things now. Unbelief, disobedience, not fulfilling the conditions, and then opposition from the devil. And then number five could be lack of patience. We just give up before the promise is fulfilled. We've waited for a while. We started out believing, waited for a while. And then people say, well, where is the promise of the Father? You know, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father's fell asleep, everything is just like it was. We don't know about this thing. It's your turn, so Israel. Everybody goes their way. You know, lack of patience. Because the Bible says, you know, after the patiently endured, they obtained the promise. So if you do not patiently endure, you may not obtain the promise. There was promise given to Abraham. And in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15, we read this sentence. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we see that, you know, patient endurance can lead us to obtain the promise. On the other hand, lack of patience can make us to miss out on the promise. So I've given the reasons why we may not obtain, but you can turn those reasons around to indicate how we may obtain. Instead of unbelief, if we believe the word of God, or the Bible says that, look, you know, those to whom the promise was once given, it was not mingled with faith in their hearts, so they did not obtain. So faith is an important ingredient to obtaining the promise. But the first thing you must know is know the promise. Then the second thing is you must believe it and embrace it for your situation, you know, and find out if there is any conditions around the promise. And we must fulfill them. That's obedience. And, you know, fulfilling the conditions or keeping the commandments that may be around that promise. And then do not allow the enemy to discourage you or even yourself. There is something that Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 when he was illustrating how faith works, you know, the mechanics of faith. You know, he said, look, and when you say something, so when you say this thing to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into yonder place or whatever. He said, look, you must not doubt it in your heart, but you must believe. Let's read that in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, well, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, there is also, you know, the indication of a time lapse between the time you say it and the time you have it. There may be a time lapse. Jesus didn't say anything about whether you have it immediately or whether it will take some time. But when you say it, you shall have it. You know, and then he said, look, furthermore, he said, what things soever you desire when you pray. So at the time you pray, which is when you pray, believe that you receive them. So at the time of prayer is when you believe. And then you shall have them. And it may come to pass later, not necessarily at the spot of the time that you are praying, but you must believe at that time and you must continue to hold on. The patience comes from holding on. So Abraham endured for 25 years and he eventually obtained the promise. You know, praise the Lord. A man that's called Caleb, you know, endured and waited patiently for 40 or 45 years. You know, it took him that long because when the Lord gave promise that he would obtain the land because he believed God, he said, well, it took him many, many years. As he said, look, I am 85 years old today. So, but, you know, I was only 40 years or so old when I went out, and I believe. And so it took him that long, you know, to obtain the promise. Let's read it in Joshua chapter 14. See how long it took this man, Caleb, to actually obtain the promise. Because God promised him and Joshua something because they were the only ones that believed the Lord out of that congregation among the elders that came out of, you know, that bondage era that they had been in Egypt. And look at the way he said it. He said, I am this day 85 years old. This is Joshua chapter 14. Let me read it from, just read it from verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So, you know, the Lord made a promise. What was the Lord? What was the promise that the Lord made to him? Well, he's stating his claim here. You know, from verse 7, he said, 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So it's reminding Joshua. Joshua was there with him too. And Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So this man, it took him 45 years, you know, to obtain that promise. You know, and he said, well, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto me through Moses. And he said, well, I am 85 years old now, and yet I am as strong this day as I was then, and so on and so forth. And now he's going to put down his claim. He said, now, therefore, give me this mountain. And it points to an area that he wants. Joshua was about to divide the land, and this man came forth, made his claim. Hallelujah. But it took him 45 years. So we see patience is also another ingredient. And the lack thereof could be reason why people don't obtain. Now, also, you know, walking in holiness and the fear of the Lord is necessary. That's why we do consecration and convocation from time to time. You know, cleanse our hearts to put ourselves in a position to receive from the Lord. you know, let's see what the Lord says in Second Corinthians chapter 7. There are many promises that he has given us, but he says some things here that we need to understand. He said, having therefore these promises, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. What promises? Well, all the things we've been talking about here today, and whatever promise the Lord gave, and the promise of emerging, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, well, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So this scripture is also telling us that walking in holiness and the fear of the Lord is necessary in order to obtain the promise. That's why we do these convocations and consecrations. Praise the Lord. Now, patience cannot be overstated. You have to know how to patiently endure. Because if we don't, then we're going to give up just before, sometimes, before the thing, you know, arrives. Just when it is around the corner, people will give up because of lack of patience. But, you know, let's see how the psalmist put it in Psalm 40. He said, look, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Also brought me out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, it was like quicksand, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now, but what led to all of that? Patiently waiting for the Lord. You know, God is not necessarily walking in our own schedule. He has his plans. He knows what we don't know. And so the way he orders things may not be the way that we are hurriedly looking for it. It's not that God is not aware of our needs or our pain points. He is. But we got to trust him that he knows what he's doing better than we know what we want. You know, what you want and what you think you need, God knows even better than all of that. So we got to trust him to do things right, even at his own timing. My thoughts are not your thoughts, he says, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so forth, even so are my ways and thoughts higher than yours. And so you can read that in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, so, but we gotta be patient. And let's read another scripture about patience in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read from verse 35. We'll read a couple of verses there. Patience is something that we must have when we are trying to obtain the promises of God. I'm laying a foundation now for something I'm going to do in a couple of minutes. You know, he said, we have to have patience. Now, cast not therefore your confidence. That's another thing that's calling out in this scripture. Confidence in the Lord, that what he has said is also able to do. Hallelujah. You know, don't cast away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, not before, but after you have done the will of God, after you kept his promises, you know, after you've given heed to his voice and done his commandments and kept his statutes and all of these things, you might receive the promise. Hallelujah. So there is the need of patience. Of course, there's also the need of confidence. Confidence in who has promised. Just like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Now that's confidence in the God that they serve. You must have confidence that God is able to do what he has promised. That part of it is non-negotiable. And, you know, we got to know, number one, know the promise. Number two, you got to be persuaded. That's the confidence part. You got to be persuaded that God is able to do what he has said that he will do. Praise the Lord. And then what? Well, we begin to embrace it for the situation at hand. And then we begin to confess him. And this man, Abraham, did just that for many, many years. The scripture says that he, against hope, believed in hope. Romans 4 and verse 18. That he might become the father of many nations, even when he had not yet even a single child. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was believing God, was strong in faith, was giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, that's the confidence in God, being fully persuaded that he which had promised was also able to perform. You know, so he had that confidence. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So, those things are very important for us to believe. And you need to embrace the promise for yourself. There was a sermon given by Peter on the day of Pentecost. And that, you know, towards the end of it, people said, you know, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter made this statement in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you got to believe that the promise of God is for you. Now that's embracing it. Don't just think it is for the children of Israel or for Zion or for this and that. There's a lot of things in the Bible like that. You've got to appropriate it for yourself. And when you do, well, you begin to believe, you begin to confess, and so on and so forth. Now, here is what we are going to do. There is a promise given. We know it. We've heard it. I've said it many times. The promise given of us emerging. What does emerge mean? Emerge means stepping out of the shadows, coming out into visibility, whereas you might, things might have been hidden and covered, now coming out, manifesting and blossoming. There's a lot of things that you can think about. Now that promise was given at the beginning of last year. Yet another promise was given this year of experiencing a quantum leap. Well, if we are not experiencing these promises, we need to examine ourselves. See, why not? And then we got to contend for those promises. I'm going to tell you a story now before we pray. And this story, you also know it. It's nothing I've said here today that is new. It's just a reminder of those things that you already know. And you've heard us say many times on this platform. There is the story of Elijah. How he went up in 1 Kings 18 against the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. But before he did, the Lord had given him a promise. The promise that there will be rain. And there was no rain. Elijah was the one that locked it up. You might say he locked up the windows of heaven. But, you know, put the key in his pocket and walked away. Because he said there shall be no rain. But then after several years, 3 years and so on, and a half perhaps, the Lord spoke to him that go and show yourself to Ahab. Because I'm going to send rain. So Elijah already knew that rain was coming. But first he had to deal with all of the opposition that was around. All the negative stuff. You know, had to deal with that. Then he had to, you know, repair the altar of the Lord and so forth. These are some things that we may have to do sometimes as part of contending for the promise. You have to get rid of all the opposition. All the things that are contrary. All the negative voices that came from those prophets of Baal, prophets of the grove. And to get rid of them, then you have to repair the altar of the Lord. You know, repairing the altar means also go back to the place of prayer and the place of praise and the place of, you know, putting that flesh on the altar. That's right. Got to put the flesh on the altar. That's one of the things we do during consecration like this. And so after all said and done, I got rid of all those prophets. And then he told, you know, Ahab to go up and eat and drink. You know, he said, look, I have heard of the sound of abundance of rain. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. There had been no rain for 3.5 years. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah, on the other hand, did not go up to eat and drink. Now, this is the difference. You know, God already promised that the rain was coming. He being a prophet, he saw and heard of it. He saw it in the spirit. He even heard the sound in his ears. He knew it's coming. The Lord already even told him point blank. So why then must you pray? God already said it. I mean, I already told you it's coming. You've already gotten rid of the, you know, unbelieving bunch. You've already repaired the altar. You've already brought, you know, the wood, the water, and all these things. All the things they signify. You already put everything in order. Hallelujah. And the fire of the Lord already fell. In confirmation that the word of the Lord that is with you is indeed the word of the Lord. And it's the truth. You already have that. All those things. Why yet must you pray? For something that God already promised. So this is the main area of our lesson today. Just because God promised it doesn't mean you fold your arms and then just sit down and wait. Take a lesson from Elijah. God promised it. He knew it. He declared it. But on his own, he went and prayed. See? So Ahab went in one direction to eat and drink. Elijah went in the other direction to pray and to put his face between his knees and cast himself down on the ground and call upon the name of the Lord. And you might say, well, I mean, that's not the time to pray. You already know the thing is coming. You know, just relax and enjoy. Oh, no. But this man, he knew the secret that even though when God promised something, sometimes you still have to pray it through because there might be some things that are holding those things back. So he went and prayed. Bible said he cast himself down in this verse 42 of 1 Kings 18. He went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and began to agonize in prayer. James 5:5 tells us later he prayed fervently and began to agonize. Said to his servant, go check it out and look toward the sea, you know. And the man went and looked and came back and said, there is nothing. Oh my, there is nothing. And that's another discouragement right there. You know, you're praying, you're believing God already said it, he's going to release it, but there is nothing. You go and look, nothing is happening. You check it out, nothing is happening. Everything looks like opposite of what God promised. The heavens are brass at this point. Well, what do you do then? Well, go and pray some more. Praise the Lord. So this man, he went and prayed some more. And he told his servant to go check it out again. He stayed right there in the point of prayer. Sent the man to go check it out. The man went out and looked again. And he saw nothing. Came back and said nothing. He did that about 7 times. You know. And then it came to pass at this 7th time that the man said, "Ah, I can see a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And Elijah said, "That's it. That's it. That's it." Praise God. But who knows how long between each of those times that Elijah had to pray for something God already promised and something he already heard and seen in the spirit that was coming. But yet he had to travail in prayer to pray it down. That's the lesson, you know, for today. And, you know, sometimes when you're praying, there may be a lot of things happening in the spirit that you may not even know about. You know, you may be believing God for something, and maybe other things going on. Devil has a different plan. It's not, devil is never going to just sit back and relax and let you get that promise. Far from it. Because he has his own role to make sure you do not get that promise. But it is yours to make sure that you are praying. Hallelujah. And so forth. Now, Daniel experienced a time, you know, when he was praying for several weeks, you know, 3 weeks. You know, he was praying, he was praying, he was praying. You can read that in Daniel chapter 10. But little unknown to, to him at that time, did he know that his prayer was already answered? The Lord already dispatched the answer, but there was something going on in the heavens that he didn't even know. So we can learn something from this. The angel touched him, and Daniel said here in Daniel chapter 10, you know, that he was mourning 3 full weeks in verse 2. "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth," and so on and so forth. "Did not even anoint myself. 3 whole weeks. And I began to pray," he even told us the date and when this thing happened. "On the 24th day of the 1st month, I was this and that, and I prayed." And then suddenly someone appeared unto him, turned out to be an angel. And he touched him and said, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for now I am sent unto thee," and so forth. And then he stood trembling. And the man said unto him, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day," listen to this, "from the first day that thou didst set thy hand to understand," this is Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, "and to chasten thyself before the Lord, your words were heard, and I am come forth for thy words." You know, from that first day, not even the 21st day, this man was praying for 21 days. But the angel is now telling him, from the first day that you started this prayer, you were already heard, and something was dispatched. However, he said, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That means from day one of Daniel's prayer, the answer was dispatched. But the angel that was bringing the answer to him, he was accosted by another one, another force. You know, and they went and fought for 21 days. My goodness. You know, but Daniel had to stay in prayer. See, Daniel didn't know that his prayer at that time, you know, was already answered, but he kept praying. You know, he stayed there patiently and he kept praying. And, you know, that was a battle going on in the heavenlies that he didn't know about, you know, And the evil prince that was over the prince of Persia was withstanding this good angel that was coming to strengthen Daniel and said, no, you know, you're not going to get through to him. And so this battle went on for 21 days, you know, until finally, you know, the angel had to get some help. Praise the Lord, you know, and he said, Michael, that's right. The archangel had to come and help me, you know. And so finally the angel got the upper hand to break through and get through to Daniel. But this story reveals to us that there may be many reasons also why things are delayed. You know, we've gone through the reasons why we may not obtain. And we've gone through reasons, you know, I mean, things we must do in order to obtain. But here's another reason why something may be delayed. Delay, delay, delay. Because the enemy is fighting, withholding your answer. Even though the answer might have been released, the enemy may be withholding it for whatever reason. I mean, or using whatever means, rather, I meant to say. Using whatever means that is at his disposal to withhold the answer to your prayers. You know, so we've got to, when we engage in prayer and when you're contending for God's promises, you got to pray that the Holy Spirit will show you what is withholding and obstructing that release. And it may be that something has been released and something is holding it back, you know, and then the Holy Spirit must show you so that you can have targeted prayers. And the Holy Spirit may show you some area of disobedience. You know, you've been obstinate in your mind. The Holy Spirit told you, go and forgive that person and release them. You have not done it. Or whatever. And the Holy Spirit may show you some other things. The Holy Spirit may even actually show you some elements of darkness. It may not be anything wrong that you are doing. Daniel wasn't doing anything wrong in this case. But there were some elements of darkness, satanic altars, satanic princes that were withholding his prayers. So, the Holy Spirit may show you those things as well. Well, from all these lessons are in the Bible, the scriptures tell us that these things are written for our examples. So we can understand how things work. Sometimes things that we don't even know about may be happening. But the bottom line today is that we've got to stand our ground. You got to stay right there, you know, in prayer. You must not give up. Whether it takes 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or however long it takes, you got to stand right there in the prayer until you see the result that you are believing God for. And even when you get up from the prayer and you have to go do something else, continue to be in the spirit of prayer and believing God and praising him as well and declaring that those things that you are believing will come to pass. And you continue to do it, continue to believe the Lord, you know, and so forth. So that is how we contend, you know, for the promises of God. Listen to Isaiah 62 and verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And I say to you, men and brethren, beloved in the Lord, I say to you, give the Lord no rest until you see a breakthrough in that thing that you are believing God for. Don't fold your arms and don't give up. Jesus told us many stories that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep on asking. That's how you contend. Don't give up, even if the answer is not immediately forthcoming. The lady that went to the judge, the wicked judge in, you know, Luke 18 and said, avenge me of this and that. And the man would not do it. But the lady kept going. They drove her away. She came back and she said it again. And then the went and came back. And this man finally said, look, I really don't care about this man, this woman. You know, I don't fear God. I don't care about giving justice to this woman. I don't care about none of that. But the only way to get rid of this woman, because she's going to weary me out with her continual cunning, the only way to get rid of her is to do what she wants and get rid of her. And Jesus told this story. It's a powerful lesson. The only way I'm going to get rid of her is do what she wants. You know, and that way, you know, I can get rid of her. So, and Jesus said, look, listen to what this wicked judge is thinking. You know, says, see what the unjust judge saith. You know, then he says, shall not God himself avenge his elect? Cry unto him day and night, though he be along with them. I tell you, will avenge them speedily. Whatever it is your cause, you stay right there with God. Jesus said, I tell you, we do it. But nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, my interpretation of that, in the short term, not the long term coming of the Lord, but in the short term situation that you are believing God for something, when the Lord finally would show up, would you still be at the point of faith? You know, or would you have packed it in? And Daniel was still right there at the point of prayer. By the time the answer finally came, he was still right there. He didn't give up. He didn't run off. And he didn't get discouraged. So we must not give up. We must not fold in. We must stay right there. When the answer is dispatched, will it meet you at the point of faith, still believing? Praise the Lord. Jesus told some other stories also. You know, there was a man that went to knock on his friend's door, his neighbor, you know, and said, look, the stores are closed. I have someone that came from out of town. I have nothing to set before him. Can you give me some bread to set before him? The man from within said, go away. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and help you at this time. But the man from outside kept knocking. You know, kept knocking. And Jesus said, the only way this man from inside may not rise to give him what he wants just because it's his friend, you know, but he's going to rise and give him whatever he wants in order to get rid of him. Because if you don't give him, the man's going to keep knocking, and your children that you think are in bed, they're going to wake up anyway. So quietly, quickly get up, give the man what he wants, let him go away so you can have your rest. That's right. Jesus told these stories. So what does that all mean? Well, that means when you are believing God for something, keep on pounding on the gate of heaven. Give the Lord no rest. Just keep on pounding. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. Jesus taught it. It is faith. Some people say, well, if I pray one time, that's it. No, you pray again, you pray again, you pray again, but you mingle it with praise and thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4.
Okay, you ready?
Tells us in verses 6 and 7, it tells us that we should be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we should make our requests known unto God with thanksgiving. So that's what we do. So that's our lesson today. I believe I've covered all the things I wanted to talk about. Next thing we're going to do now is contend in prayer for the things that you are believing God for. What is the promise for you? For me, it is emerging. Yours may be something else. You know, but whatever that the promise is that you are believing God for, or it may be even more than one thing. There's nothing that says we can only believe God for one thing at a time. Our God is a multi-dimensional God. He's a cosmic Holy Spirit. He can handle everything in the universe. Doesn't matter how many people are praying to him at any time. He can handle it all. You know, so it's not just one thing. You can believe for multiple things. You know, but whatever it is that you are believing for, you need to zero in on it. And if it has tarried and lingered, well, you should continue to pray and believe in God, contending for it. even though God promised it, we cannot fold our arms and sit back and relax and say, well, God promised it, so it's going to come. It will come, but may not be coming soon enough, and may be delayed by the Prince of Persia or any other forces that may be trying to delay the answer. So we got to get in under prayer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So that's our lesson today. And at this time, we are going to pray. Remember that we are in the convocation week and we are in consecration and prayer. Important elements during convocation is hear the word of the Lord. They stood on the fasting day, Nehemiah chapter 9, and they read the word of God for several hours. Well, we preached the word of God now for about an hour or so. And then they prayed. Ha! Hallelujah. So it is time for us now to pray. Glory to God. And it is good for us to be prayed for, but it is better when you pray for yourself. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 2 says, shake yourself from the dust. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. You know, people talk about deliverance, and that's wonderful. And I know a few things about deliverance, but I also know about self-deliverance. You know, this is self-deliverance in Isaiah 52 and verse 2. You set yourself free. Praise God. There may be times when there's nobody around to pray for you, no anointed minister or anyone to pray for you and cast that thing out and break that thing. You know, but you yourself can do it. So what this verse is saying, you can do it. You can shake yourself from the dust. Hallelujah. Why do I sit in the dust? I'm a daughter of the king. Glory to God. Our captive daughter of Zion. So get out of that rot. Get out of that depression. Shake yourself loose. Cast those things out of your neck. You can do it yourself. You know, people can do it for you, but you can do it yourself. It's more powerful when you do it yourself. Because then you know that, you know, you don't need anybody. Even if they're not around, you can get a victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you for the release of your word into our lives, even today, in the name of Jesus. And we pray for the grace that each one of us will engage in the spirit, and we will not let up. We will not give in. We will not give up. We will not fold in. We will stay right there with the promise, and we will contend for it until we get it. In the name of Jesus. Now, every promise that the Lord has promised, we must know of it in order for it to be a promise. And we know of the promises in the word of God concerning healing. We know of the promises that God shall supply all your needs, according to Philippians 4 and 19. We know of all the other promises that we have read from time to time in this room. Even when we are believing for somebody else, I will restore health unto you, Jeremiah 30 and 17. And I will heal you of all your wounds. We know of those promises. Praise the Lord. And then we know of the promise that say you will emerge. Hallelujah. And some will experience the quantum leap. We know of the promise that say you will take root downward and bear fruit upward. You know of these promises. And we know of the promise that say ask and you shall receive. It's a generic promise. Covers everything. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, ask and receive it. Everyone that seeketh, find it. And to everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. These are promises in the word of God. We know of them. And now let us contend for those promises. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.